Today on Family Talk.
Every father has a God-ordained responsibility to raise their boys on biblical instruction and discipline. In addition to that obligation, dads must also make time to model godliness and manliness to their sons. You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh with your host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. Today we're turning back the clock to listen to one of Dr. Dobson's classic interviews with Dr. Bill Bennett. Bill is the former U.S. Secretary of Education, serving under President Ronald Reagan. Dr. Bennett also directed the Office of National Drug Control Policy under President George H.W. Bush. He earned his Ph.D. from the University of Texas, his J.D. from Harvard, and his Bachelor of Arts from Williams College. Dr. Bennett has authored over 25 books and previously hosted his own radio program called Morning in America. In a moment, he and Dr. Dobson will look at the importance of a father in a young boy's life. They'll also share the role models that they admired and address why many fathers are missing in this culture. This interview was recorded back in the early days of Family Talk, but the content is still so relevant to what many kids and fathers are dealing with today. So here now is Dr. Dobson to introduce Dr. Bill Bennett on this edition of Family Talk.
Now, Bill, as you came into my office in preparation for this program, one of the first things you did is talk about your sons. Yeah. And I didn't ask.
Right. No, you don't have to. It flows.
Tell us about them. How are they doing?
Well, first of all, it's for hard work. It's the hardest thing I've done. You know, I've had a lot of jobs, but it's the hardest thing you do is raising kids, raising them right. Hmm. And it wasn't always right. You know, we were off on some wrong tracks here for a while. And people said, well, now they're fine. I said, I don't know that it's over.
It's never over.
It's never over, is it? You're the expert. No, but we're very pleased. John is 27. He's at Texas. He's in business school. He was out in the working for a while. Now back in business school, he's a terrific young man. And he's coaching lacrosse there. He was an All-American at Princeton. Joe Bennett, his younger brother, 22, just graduated from Princeton as well. They both studied with the great Robbie George, your friend.
And
about 8 courses. And Joe, right after graduation, took this commission in the Marine Corps, second lieutenant. And so we had 2 ceremonies that day, the commencement at Princeton, kind of typical agnostic, you know, big university thing. It was fine. I was very proud.
He's a big dude, isn't
he?
Yeah,
but then the commissioning of the Marine Corps, and that was a little more solemn. I was probably a little more impressed. Yeah, he's 6'6", 250.
Did you cry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a funny story, Jim. Ollie North, Joe Singh, this was 3 years ago before he got in. He wanted to meet some Marines. I said, I'll introduce you to Ollie. So he asked Ollie North, he said, am I too big? He said, I noticed a lot of the Marines are not very big. And Ollie said, no, we're small guys. We got a chip on our shoulder. We got something to prove, you know. And he said, no, they'll love you. And Joe went to the men's room, and Ollie said, they're going to make posters of that kid. He said, he is so big. He said, they want Al-Qaeda to think not only do these guys kill you, they eat you after they kill you.
One of your kids went to the University of Texas. You got a Ph.D. from there.
I did.
And
that's right.
And you graduated. You got a law degree from Harvard.
Yes, sir.
You got
guilty.
Quite a history.
Guilty. Pat Buchanan saw that Harvard degree, and he said, we can't let this guy in the Reagan administration. You know he doesn't have any sense.
Well, you served in the Reagan administration as chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities and as Secretary of Education. That's where I met you.
Yes, sir.
And many years ago. And you also served President George Herbert Walker Bush as the drug czar.
First drug czar.
You've had an incredible life with a variety of things. And then you've written some 16 books and a new one called The Book of Man.
Right.
And I may like this one better than any of the others. This is really very interesting book. You're concerned about manhood today, aren't you?
Yeah.
Especially in the Western world. We've forgotten what it means to be a man.
That's
not teaching our boys to be men.
That's exactly right.
Why?
That's exactly right. Because we have forgotten, or many of us have forgotten. And perhaps for others, as Yeats says, the great poet, the best lack all conviction, the worst are full of passionate intensity. We used to know and be unapologetic about saying what it means to be a man and to raise men to manhood. You see on the cover of that book, it's a figure of a man, a father, and a son. The father is pointing. There are a lot of figures, pictures, images like that in the book to guide. And we're not sure of that anymore because of the things, Jim, you and I have been talking about forever. You say you're father time, I'm father time. I feel like Justice Holmes, when they said, how do you feel about being 90? He said, there are fewer and fewer people to whom I must defer. it's a funny line, but moral relativism, the notion that, there's no right and wrong, who's to say? The dizzying array of signals to gay culture, which has confused an awful lot of boys, the message is there.
And the feminist movement has just hammered away at what manhood means.
Remember Gloria Steinem, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. If you put on TV, if you go to the universities, if you, check the popular culture, you'll see there is not a consistent message to boys about what it means to be a man. And as a result, they're confused.
Just watch television and the commercials that are there. The men are fools.
Yes, they're fools.
I even have a chapter in Bringing Up Boys about the fact that they've made fools out of men. And now boys are fools, too, because they don't know what it means to be a man. My dad was such a man. It's why I talk about him often. He knew what it meant to be a man. And I learned so much from him, and I've tried to write about it like you have, because we really do need to get that across.
This is where our experience diverges. I mean, I don't know if you know or remember, but I didn't grow up with a father. My mother was married 5 times.
Where'd you get it?
Well, my mother was not so good on some things, good on other things. She knew that there was a deficit, so she did her best to find men and bring them into our lives who were good men and have them be with us. Of course, she selected very carefully, but friends of the family and so on. And then her choice of schools, went to Catholic school. And of course, there can be problems there, as we all know. But she felt an obligation to put her sons in the presence of good men. So she had to kind of make it up as she went along, but you can do this. Good teachers, good coaches, and the right guidance. I say in the book the old Greek word mimesis, imitation. And the picture in the book is a man and a boy. With my mother, she would point to men and say, be like that man. Listen to that man. Spend
time
with this
man. She knew there was something to be taught.
There was a very good friend of the family who was a merchant seaman. And whenever he was in town, she had him over to the house because he was a very good and kind religious man who treated us very well. And this was the kind of person she put in our presence because she knew she had to make up for this missing piece. Mm-hmm. But I guess, Jim, this book, you're the psychologist, I'm not, but this could be something deep in me, which is, that I obviously, as I grew up, was looking for men I could look up to, father figures, and you just hope you get the right ones with guidance, and my mother's guidance and others I did. Ronald Reagan was one of those figures, and, if you're going to pick a guy to be your father figure, you can't do worse than him.
I want to come back to him because he was a hero for you and me both.
Absolutely.
Talk about what's happened at Penn State. I mean, this takes my breath away. Here you've got these little boys who are looking up to the coaches and are there because parents apparently wanted that influence. And then to take advantage of those kids I don't know the details, but it looks like the school did not step in to defend them.
So it looks.
That's almost unforgivable.
It is unforgivable. I think if what's alleged is true, it's unforgivable. Doubly, triply bad. I think because of this mentor role that these people have, coaches. I told you, very painful to me because of the role of coaches in my life. Sports were very important to us. Again, my mother and her effort to get us, in the presence of good men. Also, she said, we don't have any money. If you want to go to college, you're big boys, play sports and get your help, scholarships, and it helped. But When I was Secretary of Education, we established something called the Secretary's Teacher, and every Secretary of Education every year honors his best teacher. The person I picked was my line coach, my football coach, because, borrowing a phrase from William James, he taught me the difference between toughness and callousness. I thought toughness was callousness, like a lot of boys, you know, macho, being indifferent, you know, that kind of thing. He taught me that toughness was something else. It's perseverance. It's taking a hit and getting up, falling off a horse and getting back, you know.
Well, I'm not going to get back.
I know you're not. No, no, but getting back to your life.
Yeah,
but,
you know,
but it means taking a pounding and still keeping going. And that's a distinction. Boys think the other thing is what toughness means, walk around with a chip on their shoulder.
Coaches had a big impact on me, and one of them in particular, I was a freshman in high school and goofy and silly like all kids that age are. And I just remember one particular day. Why does this stick out after all these years? But we were all sitting in the up in the stands, and the coach was down on the floor talking to us. And a pretty girl walked by, and we were all hooting and hollering and everything. And he said, "You shut your mouths. Men don't act like that. They don't act like goofy chimpanzees when a girl walks by."
Right.
And he said something about the relationship between men and women in that day.
That's right.
That stayed with me to this day.
Boy, my hope is that the young people listening to us hear that sound advice, because it is so very, very applicable even today. Men are called to honor and respect women, just as Christ loves his church. I'm Roger Marsh again, and we have reached the midpoint of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Dr. Bill Bennett. Now, before we rejoin this classic Family Talk broadcast, I want to thank you for your faithful financial support and also your prayers for the ministry of Family Talk. They allow us to continue to do this great kingdom work. Learn how you can stand with us by going to drjamesdobson.org. DrJamesDobson.org, or by calling 877-732-6825. Again, that number is 877-732-6825. Now, as we pick up this classic broadcast, Dr. Bill Bennett responds to parents' anxiety following the Penn State scandal. Many couples, especially single moms, had a hard time trusting their young children to other male influences after that scandal broke. Here now is Dr. Bennett's profound response.
You know, in my church, this horrible business where you think you can entrust your children to priests and bishops, and 98% you can, but some you can't. That's the Penn State thing, because people feel if their boys are in sports that they're safe. It's a safe place.
Yeah.
If they're going to teach the right values. But, you know, this the indifference, or if it, well, you have to see what the results of the investigation. But if you read the grand jury report, a son of a friend of mine read it and was nauseous, actually threw up. Mm-hmm. To have any sense of this going on and not shouting it from the rooftops,
yeah,
not calling the cops the first instance, this is the real big, big problem.
Now, and it would appear that football overrode the welfare of the children. Now, I don't know if that's true, and, you know, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but you say that your friend has actually seen some evidence of that.
That's correct. And in the investigation that's going on, there's more coming out every day. People looked the other way. They chose to look the other way.
Syracuse also, we've got another example of it. It's happening all over the country, and this is why I said in my book, Bringing Up Girls, the day for sleepovers is over.
Yeah.
You can't afford to do that now because it's so prevalent, and I believe the spread of pornography is behind it.
I think
has caused
it.
Let's go back
to
your list of heroes. You talk about a lot of them in this book. And the book is filled with stories and poems and accounts and people.
Real life people.
Talk about Ronald Reagan. You and I both admired him. What was it about his personality and his approach to life that made men look up to him?
I think there was First of all, Robert Louis Stevenson has a great line. He talks about the geniality of the world's really great men. And this is something I've found. The second raters try to impress you, you know?
Yeah.
The first raters don't have to. You know, they just... He's natural. He was natural. He was easy. He was the same with everyone. There's so many stories we could just talk about it forever. But when he called me into his office to ask me to be Secretary of Education, you know, Jim Baker was there, and he said, I can't get rid of this department. I wish I could, but maybe you can make some sense of it. And then I said, first of all, I have to bring you greetings from Dixon, Illinois. Your hometown was my best friend is from Dixon, Illinois. And he just started talking, you know, chatting and just relaxed, not a care in the world. And then Baker said, Mr. President, we've got business to do here. Just could be the guy in the coffee shop, your neighbor, just that naturalness. At the same time, he was pursuing two goals, restore America, destroy the evil empire. That's how I view it, two main goals. And did it with
both of them.
Yes, he did. Did it with a kind of ease and without complaining. Certainly didn't complain about the country, like some presidents do. Said the problem was not the people, the American people, but elsewhere. But I spent a lot of time with him, Jim. I know you did too. But it was such precious time. But the thing people don't know, Ronald Reagan played jokes on people, and he played jokes on me. Every time he looked at me, he thought of a practical. Did I tell you about when we got into Missouri and he asked me to ride in the limo with him? He said, I'm not sure the speaker works, you know, this little thing where you can say hello, everybody, and then put the things on the side. So he asked me to stop the car, go out in the field. Can you hear me, Bill? 50 yards further, can you hear me, Bill? 100 yards, and he takes off in the car. Leaves the Secretary of Education.
Oh, my God.
He just thought this was so funny. Mr. President, you have time for this kind of thing. You know, they had a magician at the White House. Well, who can we have in there to take the rabbits, you know, out of his ear? Nancy said, Bill Bennett, he'll do it. Well, you know, you weren't going to ask some of those other guys. You knew that cabinet. You know, some of those guys, you weren't going to pull a rabbit out of their ear, but I was game for anything the boss wanted. But there's... You know, when you think about, I don't know who said it, but great sentence on Reagan. It's that he took the helm of the ship in a terrible storm. Yeah. He calmed the passengers and the sea.
You know? One of my favorite stories about Ronald Reagan came from your undersecretary of education, Gary Bauer.
Gary Lee Bauer.
I met in the White House, and we became great friends there. But he talks about a day when the administration team came in to meet with the president. They did it every week. And from Gary's rank in the White House at that time, you weren't expected to say much. And he was coached before going in there about what he could say and what he couldn't say. And Gary just decided to do his own thing on one occasion. And he told the president about a little Down syndrome boy that the parents didn't want and the medical staff was not willing to care for because they didn't want him. And they hung a note on the side of the little tiny crib saying, do not feed. And that little boy died. And Gary told the president about that. And he looked over at him, and he had big tears running down his cheeks.
Yes, sir.
And he went out and did everything he could to prevent that from happening again. So this man's man could cry.
Absolutely.
In the White House in front of his staff.
Absolutely. I guess the story that mattered the most to me, back to talking about fathers— my first 2 months were very rocky. You may not remember, but I do. Yeah. I, you know, one mistake after another by the lights of the main media. I was in my job about a month, and we flew back, Elaine and I, and there were editorials all over. Bennett must go. He's the James Watt of the second term. He's a disaster. We had a cabinet meeting. Ronald Reagan had three folders. One of them said, Bennett. He started to read these headlines. Bennett, a disaster. Bennett must go. I could feel the chairs moving away from me around the cabinet table. Closed the folder, looked around and said, that's what Bill Bennett's doing. What's wrong with the rest of you?
You're kidding.
Yes, sir.
Did he?
Absolutely.
Really?
put his arm around me. You talk about a father, you know?
Yeah.
And in effect, he put his arm around me and said, you're doing just fine. Go to it. I did, you know. Later on in the budget process, the two guys who will mention their names in the White House said, you've got to ask for more money. I said, I don't want more money. I want less money. And they said, you asked for more money. And I said, I'm calling my dad. I'm calling the president. And then, you know, there are other times where I just reached out directly to him. You remember after Iran-Contra?
Yeah.
And he was going on TV. And I called him that day. I said, I know what you're going to do, and I know what you're going to say, and you're going to take responsibility. I said, but the media wants you to humiliate yourself. You know, they want you to say, I'm a terrible person. I did. I said, don't give it to them. Don't, you know. He said, oh, don't worry. There's no chance.
They were rabid.
He said, there's not a chance. I said, this is a big moment, Mr. President. This is Rock Falls. I was referring to his old high school football schedule. He said, thanks, Bill, but our rival was Sterling, not Rock Falls. I said, okay, sorry. But again, that was that. You know, yeah. He took the call. Mm-hmm. So it was, yeah, he was a guy. He was a guy's guy.
This program goes by so fast. Our guest today has been Dr. Bill Bennett, a wonderful friend of mine and a man that has stood for principle in government at a time when, you know, the people in Washington, D.C. appeared to have forgotten it. I think they've forgotten it again. You need to get back there, Bill.
Some have.
Yeah.
I will tell you, Jim, I mean, maybe we have a different assessment. There's a lot wrong in Washington, Lord knows. But I believe the group that's there now, some of them, is the best team we've had, the best group of people. Some of these freshmen, some of these—
Well, you're talking about Congress.
Yes, yeah. Some of these freshmen and some of our leadership in the conservative ranks— yeah. You know, some of our governors, I think, are, and some of these freshmen, some of these folks are men and women of principle who will not, you know, be bowed.
We're going to have to pick this up
sure.
next time if you will be with us again. The title of the book is The Book of Man, Readings on the Path to Manhood. It's a wonderful silhouette on the cover of a man, a tall man, pointing the direction for a boy who's looking through binoculars. You could write a chapter or two on that cover.
It's a Colorado mountain we're on there, Jim.
Right. Hey, this is a big book. What is it, 300 pages?
It's more than that.
Yeah, 500 pages.
And, smaller than the Book of Virtues.
Yes. I appreciate you being our guest, and we want to talk some more about the
Thank
book
you.
Next time.
Thank
but
you.
You've come a long ways to be with us. I appreciate you. Give Elaine my regards.
I will.
And those two big boys.
Yes, sir, I will. Okay. All 13 feet of them. You bet I will.
All right.
You've been listening to a classic edition of Family Talk, featuring Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Dr. Bill Bennett. I'm Roger Marsh, and I encourage you to visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. There you can learn how to order a copy of Dr. Bennett's incredible work referenced today, the book titled The Book of Man. You can also follow the link to listen to his new podcast called The Bill Bennett Show. Find all of that and much more when you visit today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. While you're online with us, be sure you also check out the Dobson Digital Library. That URL is dobsonlibrary.com. Now, this is our inventory of all of Dr. Dobson's work over the past 40 years. We have cataloged all of his articles, blogs, newsletters, and past radio programs as resources just for you and your family. You can also search under the Marriage, Faith, Parenting, and Culture tabs to find what you need there as well. So stop looking elsewhere for practical tools and insights to help your family. Take advantage of Dr. Dobson's years of knowledge at dobsonlibrary.com. That's dobsonlibrary.com. I urge you to stay up to date on our newest programs as well by using your Amazon Alexa. This hands-free device allows you to listen to Dr. Dobson anytime with a simple command. Once you enable the Family Talk skill, say, Alexa, play today's broadcast of Family Talk. It's that easy. Discover how to access all of our daily programs on your device by going to drjamesdobson.org/Alexa. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's classic conversation with Dr. Bill Bennett. They'll examine the moral and spiritual freefall of American society. The two men will also express what it means to be a godly man and father in today's society. That's coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
This is James Dobson again. Before we go, I'd like to remind you that Family Talk is a listener-supported program. If you've enjoyed this broadcast, we'd appreciate your helping to keep us on the air. As you know, we talk about everything from religious liberty to the sanctity of human life and raising boys and girls, among others. These are the passions of our hearts, and I hope they are for you, too. Thank you so much for listening and for being part of this ministry. For more information, go to drjamesdobson.org.